Word on Today FM.
Let's move on to the last word in TV and streaming, as ever Elaine Burke and Joe O'Shea are with us. And since the last time we spoke, Joe, Norm, the most famous man to have ever entered a pub, died. Tell us a little bit about George Wendt, please, and Norm.
Yeah, Norman, it's very sad, and it really speaks to an era, kind of happier time, you know, in some respects, and definitely a smaller universe in terms of TV back in the 80s when Cheers was just such a huge show that ran for over a decade. And George Wendt, for people who, most people remember, or at least people who are old enough to remember watching Cheers, George was the barfly, the guy who used to turn up, push through the door every week, and they'd all shout, the whole bar would go, Norm! And he'd deliver a one-liner. So you'd have Woody would say something to him, like, how are you feeling? And he'd say, oh, I'm on top of the world. It's a dismal spot in Greenland somewhere. Or, how's life treating you? Like it caught me in bed with its wife, you know? So it was good one-liners, and that's what he was famous for. And I actually met him in the Gravediggers pub, of all places, in Dublin years ago. He was overshooting a commercial.
I was just going to say that, because I can just imagine him walking into the Gravediggers and everyone shouting, Norm!
Are people going, oh, I think if I've won too many whiskies here, I've ended up in Cheers. And he was a lovely guy, and he had a great line about his job. He said, basically, I have the best job in TV. They pay me to sit at the end of a bar, drink beer and talk about sports. And he was genuinely, he actually said that George was very close to him, that it was kind of, that was his character, you know, in real life, or at least a good, you know, a big part.
But Norm was very close to him. He was George. Yeah.
Sorry. Yes.
That exactly. Just shows you how you become known by your character.
They were. Yeah, that's how close they were, Matt. Yeah. Hey. So it's you know, it's sad because he was such a huge character in the 80s.
Elaine, you're probably not familiar with Cheers. You're too young to remember anything about Cheers.
I totally watched it. Started a lifelong fancying of Ted Danson, that show. And I do remember distinctly Norm, and would always be alongside the bar with Cliff. Was that the... Yeah. The mailman.
Yeah.
And I just love that dynamic, these two surly barflies, and they would always come out with the best quips. Like they didn't have much in terms of character development in the show, but they were these great funny men just delivering line after line that was always gold. And Cheers was such a phenomenal show. Like, it's probably the first American sitcom that I would have really watched. We watched it as a family all together. And then like the spin out of that, Frasier, is one of my favourite sitcoms of all time. So yeah, it's been a huge success. And like the people that came out of it, Rhea Perlman, Kirstie Alley was in it, Woody Harrelson, terrific actor. Like, yeah, it's, what a show.
It was a great show. It was a must watch in the 1980s in particular. Okay. Let's move on to other things, because this is TV and streaming. Streaming on Apple from next Friday is this.
These are the tall tales of a short rock star.
Hola.
Welcome to my Quarterman show.
I wanna tear down the walls that hold me inside.
Something to know about performers. In pursuit of truth, we are capable of more untruth than most.
Show business. Show me things.
Turns out the most extraordinary thing about my life is the people I'm in relationships with. I met my wife, Ali, same week I joined you too.
Where the streets are.
Elaine, this is turning up on television very quickly, isn't it? Or streaming, we should say, given that it only had a premiere in Cannes last week.
Yeah, no, Apple pays the money and they get results. I think that's what happens here. And yeah, this is a big film. So it's coming from Andrew Dominik, and he would have done the Nick Cave rock documentary, which was very well received and well regarded. So I guess like it's Bono is getting that treatment now. And the Stories of Surrender title of it, I'm pretty sure that's borrowed from an album that they had out a number of years ago that was actually part of like a dual album. And it was a lot of, I think he said it was about storytelling the story of his life in some way and being reflective and nostalgic of his past. So I reckon that's what you're going to get from this as well. I think Joe knows a lot more about it though.
He's, Bono.
That's a telling pause. Please tell us more.
I don't know how many Irish people are going to watch this because we have a complicated relationship with Bono and U2. Let's put it that way. And for a lot, there's a lot of Irish people who kind of find him a bit glib and a bit, you know, even in the little clips they were playing there, you know, a big story from a short rock star, all this kind of stuff. And the David Letterman thing that they did in Dublin, it looked fantastic, it was beautiful, but I don't think a lot of Irish people watch that again. I think this is made for an American audience and an international audience, but at least Apple aren't mandatorily installing it in our devices this time, like but that U2 album that everybody that had the whole world raging against U2. So
those were in the days when you had space you didn't want taken up, whereas if it was to be done now, it wouldn't matter a damn to everyone because their phones have so much more capacity. I'm a bit surprised. I mean, I'm going to watch it to see what it's like because, as I've said on this programme before, I was lucky enough to have been at the one-man show when he performed it in Dublin, and I would actually say I enjoyed it probably even more than I've enjoyed the last few U2 concerts I've been at. It was that good.
Well, I've been to some fantastic U2 concerts. I loved them when I was a teenager, young teen or whatever. But
which was a few years ago now, Joe.
Yes, a few years ago. Yeah, I remember them seeing them in the mid-80s in Croke Park and it was amazing. But I don't know. We get a lot of Bono and I'm unsure as to how much Bono the Irish public can take.
What do you think, Elaine?
He's a divisive character. He's hard to like, I think. God love him. He wants to be liked, I think. But yeah, like he tends to come across as pontificating and a little bit, I hate to use this word because it's so popular now for making things seem really bad, but he's kind of cringy. Like he, as a representation of Ireland and Irish culture, I find him a bit difficult, even though I'm a huge fan of U2. Like I think they're brilliant. I'm actually jealous now hearing you guys talking about having seen them live because I've never had the opportunity to, and at this point I would need a substantially higher income to afford to see them at any point. But yeah, I don't know if I'd be watching this now.
Okay. Listener says, we were in Boston last week, visited the Cheers Bar on Wednesday, the day George died. Lovely tribute to him outside. Photographs sent over that as well. Yeah, there is a bar in Boston. We were going to go into it the last time we were over in Boston. The only time I was in Boston, didn't get a chance to do so. Should have actually gone in to have a look at it. Okay, so other things. You're, I think, excited, Elaine, by the prospect of Donald Gleeson in a spin-off of The Office.
Yes, so this is
actually U.S. Office.
U.S. Office, because this is like a spin-off of the spin-off. So The Office in American Workplace was Greg Daniels, the showrunner from the States, took on the monumental task of remaking The Office, the incredible UK show for an American audience. And apart from the first episode, they diverted completely from the storytelling from the UK version. And they really established it for themselves. And it's a really enjoyable show. It's a big comfort watch. It had this resurgence of interest when it was released on Netflix around the time of the pandemic. And a whole new generation is really interested in it now. And they've been talking for a while about doing, you know, a new version, a reboot. And they've gone down this reboot route where they're going to pretend that the documentary crew from The Office are now filming a workplace in a small newspaper, like a local newspaper. And the original story was about a paper company in the dawn of the digital age. And, you know, the news industry is also seen as like a dying industry right now. So kind of repeating the trope there. One returning character that we know of is Oscar, the accountant from the original show. And Donald Gleeson, I don't know if he's going to be trying to do like a David Brent, Michael Scott type character, but he does seem to be the central character here. And also they've got Bemisola Ikimelo, who was in A League of Their Own, that reboot. And she's a really strong actress who's really interesting. And Tim Key, who's known as more as Alan Partridge's sidekick, always hilarious in everything he's in. So I think the casting looks really sharp on this. Greg Daniels has a bit mixed results since The Office in American Workplace. So we'll see if this is a big comeback for him or if it will flop. I don't know.
A listener says, begrudgery is the only thing in Ireland bigger than you too. Well, that's putting certain people back in their place. Tell us, Joe, about Elizabeth Hurley's new TV show.
Yeah, yeah. It's like TV executives looked at The Traitors and thought, "Oh, that seems to be popular. Let's do something like that." Mm-hmm. It's called The Inheritance. And Elizabeth Hurley is playing a dearly departed, fabulously glamorous benefactor known only as the deceased. And this is a reality series on Channel 4, The Inheritance. And basically, you get 13 strangers are summoned to a grand stately home to compete for the fortune left in the will of the deceased, Elizabeth Hurley. Except, of course, that they have to play games and manipulate each other and lie and cheat to all to get their hands on this huge fortune. So it does sound, you know, if you're being a cynic, you would say, oh, that sounds, vaguely in traitor's territory. But, you know, there's a big audience for these types of shows, and it's a big get for them as well to get somebody as big and as well known as Elizabeth Hurley to kind of play what would be the kind of games master or the kind of the person behind everything that's going on in the stately home.
I bet Elizabeth Hurley never interacts with a single contestant on that show. This is going to be like Genius Game with David Tennant, which looks like such an easy payday for him. He just recorded a bunch of stuff that's then displayed to the contestants, and he's never in a room with them from what I can tell. And I reckon that's what Hurley got out of this as well. Genius on her part.
Another one here, a listener says, I don't agree that Bono is hard to like. He's an amazing ambassador for Ireland, compassionate, successful, powerful, and has done so much for so many all over the world. It's ugly when Irish people who can't stand someone who's brilliant at what they do. Classic Irish begrudgery.
Oh my God, you'd think I really slated the guy. I was like, yeah, it's not a big fan, guys. Jeez.
Okay, right. Picks of the week. Joe, what are you going for, please?
If you love slow horses, there's a new show starting on Netflix on Thursday called Department Q, which is definitely slow horses adjacent, or has the feel of it. It's Matthew Good, who's fantastic, and he played Robert Evans in the Offer, that brilliant drama.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great actor. Mm-hmm. And in this, he plays a burnt-out detective, is there any other kind, who's in the Edinburgh Police Force. They're trying to find something for him to do, so they say, we're going to give you your own department. Except, of course, he turns up, and his own department is just him sitting in a disused office in a grotty house somewhere. So his job is to investigate cold cases. He puts together, of course, a quirky team, and they go after the bad guys. I've seen trailers for it. It looks good. It definitely has a feel of Slow Horses, but I think if you like that kind of stuff, Department Q, Thursday Netflix, is for you.
What's your pick, Elaine?
I'm contradicting myself now, because this will be a cringy watch for different reasons, but season 2 of The Rehearsal starts with a double bill tonight on Sky Comedy from 10 p.m. The first season of this show is a few years ago, and it's a new project from Nathan Fielder, who does these kind of documentary comedies where there's a lot of unwitting participants who think that they're maybe in a reality show or a documentary and don't realise that it's being skewed for comedy. And he puts them in bizarre situations. And he also has a tendency to, with these projects, which already start from a bizarre point, to go off into a very surreal direction. So whatever you think is happening, it's going to change dramatically, I would say, over the course of this. And the idea of The Rehearsal is that he's got this big budget from HBO to help people to rehearse difficult things that they're encountering in their life. And the first series dealt with, you know, a guy who was trying to tell the truth about not having a master's degree to his quiz team. But this is about, he's trying to fix the aviation industry because they've got a communication issue, is apparently what he's found. And there's huge stunts. He builds incredible big sets, and it just looks insane. Very weird watch, though. Very particular type of comedy here.
Okay, Elaine Burke, thank you. And Joe O'Shea. The Last Word on Today FM.